Welcome back to the Easy with Francesi podcast. It has been a long time. I think I had a look at the calendar. It's been 2 months, 8 weeks. I'm sorry, listeners. I really am sorry. We've given you no content. There is a reason for this. We're going to call it the summer holiday break. Should have said it before, but it's been the summer holiday. So it's been the summer holiday break. Deep dive training talk will be on the off season, what to do in the off season. So we will come on to why we've had the break later on, but we're going to welcome back the big man from Nashville. He's going to tell us some really exciting news. Richard Francesi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks, David. I'm doing well.
That is good.
Yeah.
Since
our long break, I've done no running. I've done hardly any running.
You sound happy though.
Done a bit of cycling. Yes, that's true. Yeah. It's not been all bad. So I've been cycling a little bit, but it's been long break. So probably the last three weeks I haven't done much at all. But you know, the weather here in Nashville is, I forget how miserable it is when it gets to July. It's like August and July, even September, it's miserable. And it's like March, April, you think, oh, this is the best weather I've ever experienced. Can't wait.
When you say miserable, you're going to have to explain that to the listeners. What do you mean by miserable?
Oh, yeah. What I mean by miserable is you go outside and it's like 35 degrees or more and it's humid. It's so hot. I will never get used to this.
I've just come back from spending a month in the UK and it's been about 19, 20 degrees at best and on and off rain. I've come back to Stockholm and I've been told it's been about the same. So I'm not sure all the listeners will sympathize with you, but yeah, I can understand how oppressive it is. Yeah.
Well, to give some context on what it means for running is and cycling, in fact. So I can't run for more than 40 minutes, even if I was trying to, without having to have a bunch of water. And if I'm on a bike, I will go through a full bottle of water in 25 minutes. So I have to refill my bike every 50 minutes to an hour. So, you know, although at the same time, you know, you go out for an hour, you get a lot of good work in. So I haven't been running so much, and that's okay. But number one, I've been doing a little bit of cycling, nothing to really speak of. But in the last week, I've gone back to the gym. So because it's so hot, I just can't consistently be outside.
Muscle gains.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I could do. I could appreciate some muscle gains and some other losses. That'd be good. But I've just been going on the cross trainer or the rowing machine or the bike or whatever cardio equipment there is for an hour each day for the last few days. It's not so bad. It's not always intense. Today I was there in the morning and I did the step machine and the rowing machine and my heart rate was like 140. So, you know, I'm not going crazy, but I just need to be consistent. So
it's like when you go in sweet shop and you just get pick a mix. Go to the gym.
Yeah.
Well, this bit of that.
It is boring, I'll be honest, but I'm motivated to do something. And I've been outside cycling yesterday. I got a puncture, which was annoying. But I basically go inside like to train and then outside. So, but, you know, a long break for me is simply because I've been lazy. But, you know, what have you been up to in the intervening months?
Oh, okay. Right. So what happened to me? So I had a break, went to Sardinia. That was lovely. I was jogging a bit there or running a bit there, came back, carried on running a bit. I saw a physio about 7 weeks ago, and I've been having Achilles issues on and off, and he advised that I just take 6 weeks off, load, come back properly. And I agreed. So this was on Thursday. Sunday, there's a race actually, it's not a race, there's an event called the Dulwich Dynamo, and it's from East London all the way up to Suffolk. And I was contemplating doing that. So that would have been on the Saturday, leaving on Saturday night. Elmer and I did about it. So I thought No, and I've got things to do. I don't want to lose sleep, whatever. Didn't do that, but I ended up going for a ride on Sunday with a group. Ride was fine. We were probably halfway through the ride. I was about 200 meters from a cafe, and I think I wanted to take my eye off the road. I had one hand off the handlebar. I'm flying over the handlebar, broke my collarbone. You should have seen the road. There's like the road was just destroyed by my brute. No, of course not. I broke my collarbone, blah, blah, blah. So pretty much the last, I've had a cast for 3 weeks now, and I'm into the third week. So I've got into the fourth week. So I've got another 2 weeks left. I wasn't able to do anything the first week because I was waiting for an operation. So I did nothing but walking a little bit. And the next 2 weeks, I couldn't do any exercise because I had to make sure I wasn't risking the wound not healing, risking any infection. So I didn't do any exercise for 2 weeks. Did some body weight stuff, walked. I've been back on it for 2 weeks now. So hence the delay. I've been away, but I just wasn't in the mindset or I was focusing on other things and doing a podcast. So sorry, listeners. I hope the excuse or the reasons are at least understandable. So
I will say welcome to the Broken Collarbone Cyclist Club, which is everybody who's been cycling for long enough.
Yeah, and do you know who copied me 2 days after the joint record sprint stage record holders in Tour de France, Mike Cavendish, thought he'd copy me. You watched that, it was just pretty innocuous. He just fell awkwardly, wasn't going quickly, pretty much like I was. So yeah, I have joined that club. Yes, I've joined the club. So I think I was fortunate. I managed to get an operation quickly, plates in there, screwed together. So as long as I'm sensible, it should heal properly.
You have to be sensible.
There's some people say it's my middle name, but when I've been training in the gym, I've been doing quite similar to you, 60 minutes a day. And yes, it is quite tedious, quite boring, but my goal is I've got about another month before I can start jogging, so I need to. I'm hoping that I'll be able to take the sling off for 2 weeks and start doing some plyometrics. I might just be skipping to start with, whatever. And then within a month, another 2 or 3 weeks, I can start jogging. I have not had the sling on all the time in the gym. And the problem is I'm fine on the bike or the cross trainer. But when I go and lift, I did accidentally the other day. I'm not lifting with my weak hand. I had a 10K weight. I put it on my left hand just without thinking. So just gotta be sensible. Yeah. So that is the reason why there's been a gap, everyone. We should be back to our fortnightly routine now from now on. So hear about my cross training and how I get back on the running game. Right. Okay, so we've heard from Richard, heard from me. We're going to go on to our deep dive training talk, and that is what to do in the off-season. Could be quite a broad topic, so we're going to rein it into track runners, and we're going to classify middle distance and 800 up, but probably more 15 upwards. The 15 to 5K runners. So what do they do in the off season? Richard, I'm gonna let you go first.
I'm actually gonna let you go first because I'm gonna let you go first on this.
Well, very kind of you, Richard. Right. So what to do in the off season? It depends on the experience of the athlete. It also depends on how full a season they've had. So I think we're going to make assumptions that it's a reasonably experienced athlete. We're going to make assumptions that it is an athlete that has had a full season. So we'll define a full season, summer season that is, from, we'll say, April to late August. So it's that's four or five months. So they would, and this runner would typically either be going into a cross-country season or a road season. So what do they do? What did it look like? But I'll talk about my experience, what I did in the off-season. I generally took a week to 2 weeks. I didn't do any quality sessions, but that define that as anything around 10K effort or faster, but cut down the volume quite a bit. In some cases, I didn't run or at least a week to 10 days, did a couple of jogs a week, 20 minutes, the same that I'd normally do. You know, a standard run to be 45, 50 minutes, so just 20-minute jogs a couple of times a week. So cross-training. I mean, the last 10 years, I've actually gone on a cycling trip, so I'm not sure that's necessarily an off-season, because you should be looking at recovery, looking to allow the body to come down and then prepare for the bigger winter volume that's coming. It should be seen as an opportunity to allow recovery. I've actually run quite well off recoveries, because you know, funnily enough, you recovered, you come back, you haven't lost the fitness you think you've lost, and then it's amazing with years of training how much you retain your fitness if you just don't completely are completely sedentary or anything. So those are my initial thoughts. Just avoid anything hard, anything that produces too much, any lactic acid work, really, any hard anaerobic sessions, any heavy lifting. Some athletes may take just 2 weeks off completely. The reason why I never did that was I found that I was just a bit too much to in terms of, I find that I seize up and it takes a bit longer to come back into running. If you just do some jogging, it just keeps your body in sync with the loading patterns that are quite specific to running that you can't replicate with other activities. So those are my kind of general thoughts, and I'll let Richard come in.
Yeah, so thanks, Damien. I think there's a couple of things to consider at the end of a track season. One is if you want the track season to end, or if you're just running out of time. It's always tempting if you're running out of time to keep racing and do some races up to September, October and not have a break. And if you're sitting there, and the races are just flat and, coming to the end of August and you think it's time for a break, you're still having a break. When I was an athlete, I always saw it as a transition period, because I would refocus on a serious winter. Whereas I think, people who are more track focused or run even shorter distances or run indoors might have a different approach between that kind of September to January period. Mine was always very heavy with training for cross country, and even as a coach, I did a lot of that too. But it could be different how you come back into things after a couple of weeks break. So, if it's something, and I remember coaching and having this where athletes are running really, really well up to September, but it'd been a long season anyway, from April all the way through. And we still had a break. So there was still this planned end of season, no matter how well things were going, because as you allude to, you don't really lose much fitness. But if you go too far into the hole with just racing, competing and training hard, it can have a long-term impact on the next season or the season after. So in those 2 weeks, usually it would be, I would usually suggest not having time completely off, probably running no more than 40 minutes in any one go, probably even less than that, easy, as you feel. And then if you're training twice a day, then go to once a day, obviously. When I was an athlete and a bit younger, and my teens, even early 20s, I would cycle too. I would just spin on the bike for an hour, so I'd get off my legs, but I would keep the routine of the training. It just, you come off it a lot. And here's the thing I noticed as a coach long after I stopped competing seriously is, you say 2 weeks, but it does depend. And what I have found is you have that week where your legs come back. Sometimes you have a second week where you just feel flat and actually you're much more tired than you really appreciated before going into a training cycle. for the winter or whatever it may be. But then there's another phase where you really, really want to train and race again, no matter what. And that might be 3 weeks. It might be even more. You're still doing some easy runs, but you're not doing the high intensity stuff. You're not doing long reps. You're not doing a long run. And for me, it's getting to that point mentally where you really want to race and train again, and you're excited to do so psychologically, regardless of how much like running that you've been doing before. But yeah, in that time, you're just recovery running. And I remember when I got to the end of the cross country season, I had a big race usually in December, where I would sometimes just go all the way through after the track season, if I wasn't injured or something, to December. No matter what, I would take 2 weeks of recovery running. And when I came back, you know, and I would always need it, and I'd always find out 3 or 4 days later how much I needed it. Because usually, you know, you finish the race, you're still excited about racing and things. So anyway, those are my thoughts. I think it depends a little bit on how you approach it. I still think it's important to have a transition. You know, we can call it off season, we can call it transition. I think it looks a bit different if you go into a indoor season versus a cross country season afterwards. But the same occurs also if you come off cross country season, you transition into track work.
Yeah, I think the key thing that we may, well, that is sometimes overlooked is the psychological side of just having quite an intense season, whether that be that cross country or track season, just needing a psychological break, because there isn't, to do the hard training, to do the consistent hard weeks, to get in the mindset to race, you need that just, you know, a mental recovery. But I think the physiological recovery is you know, more important, of course. But I think it's individual, but and I think we probably, you know, we've coached athletes that are quite resistant to taking breaks, and it's trying to try to make them understand the purpose of recovery, and that their concerns are often that they lose the routine, they lose the habit, they lose fitness. But we kind of wrap it around in a different way. As you said, you keep the routine, but it's just not as intense. You're not going to lose anything. There's so much evidence that supports that. So yeah, and I think yes, another reason why, you know, you should have you should consult the coach to kind of come up with a strategy for an off period.
Yeah, and I mean, other things I've seen people be happy with is like walking holidays. I know you said you cycled, so people going out and just hiking for a while, skiing. Just anything that's not running usually is a good start. And if it is
just
running,
just have fun, do something fun, something just that's away from running but keeps you active.
And the other consideration to help convince oneself that it's worthwhile is, you know, when it comes to the middle of September and you look at what races there are, if you're focusing on the indoor, they don't start till December. Yeah. And they're in January, February, so you have, there is enough, when it's a really congested race schedule, of course it's difficult to justify not racing. But if, you know, with good planning, there's enough races to plan whatever ones you want. And then working backwards, you always have time. And sometimes, you know, you have more time than you even want. You've got 4 months rather than three. So you fit 3 months of training into 4 months.
Yeah, I guess the caveat would be if you're injured or ill, you've missed a period, and then like you've missed the start of the summer or the start of the winter, then it's slightly different. But I think if we're assuming that you've had a full
season. Is it? How is it different?
Well,
I'm curious.
Well, okay. So example is say that you started your summer season quite late, but you still want to have. You still want to get some racing in. You could do a road. You could do do some road racing before the start of the cross country season, and then you could. There probably will be a time when you need a break, but it depends on your focus. And same with the cross country season. If you started that late, you may then want to shift the start of your summer season cross country season. So it could be a shift, but the break may not be as long because of the reduced time that you've had, you know.
It's interesting you say that, because I've seen this, or I've also experienced this, but that is always a reality, because you never just train year after year without interruption. What I've found is this, you know, the break can look slightly different, but for me it's about, you can still do like a relay race in September, October, November, you know, but you're not doing all the work training wise to come into that. You have to let your ego go a little bit.
Yeah, 100%.
And just see it for what it is, which is an opportunity to get some work in if it fits, which it usually does. I mean, you know, I love a relay race, definitely. I remember the ones we used to do, you know, the Southerns, then sometimes the Nationals, obviously, but then there were St. Albans relays, Addison University relays, and you know, they were great, but it takes a lot of discipline even after you feel like you're catching up to still focus on, I think, what the forward season ahead really is important.
Yeah.
What's really important for the season coming up?
Okay, thanks, Richard. So that we've covered the off season now. Hopefully, listeners, you've got some useful insights there and help you with your planning of your seasons going forward. Just wanted to touch quickly, Richard, on what you've been up to. We talked briefly before we started about your change of mindset. Do you want to just give us a quick summary of that?
Change of mindset. Are you talking about me buying a drum set? Or something else.
Off you go.
Nah, I bought a drum set. I'm having a midlife crisis. Yeah.
Fantastic. And I started swearing at you before you came online because that I've always wanted to play the drums. When I go to gigs, I watch the drummer. But I'm reluctant to get drums because I'm going to get sucked into another. Not, and it's not a drain in my time, but. Yeah, I need to prioritize things. I'm trying to learn Swedish and get back to running, and so. But maybe I did say to my partner, just said to her that, we will when I finish Swedish, we're getting a drum set. So, yeah, it'll be maybe another year or two. But I know you're a good musician, so I'm looking forward to hearing some of your recordings.
Don't get your hopes up. I'll get a right shoulder injury before I get good at the drums. I'll injure my legs or my back. So, but it's fun. It's fun.
I met a heavy metal drummer once, and he said, "Drumming is not playing an instrument; it's a sport." So, especially with heavy metal drummers. So, look at that. It's true. It's true. I guess if you're doing it with enough, BPM, you're pretty high.
Well, I got to work on my. I got to do some soleus raises. That's what I got to do.
Yeah, soleus and calf raises. Yeah, and plantar. I guess your plantar. Yeah, do some work in your plantar fascia as well. Right. Okay, Richard. Been a pleasure. We'll speak again. I hope that you keep up your cross training routine and have a good time in Nashville. Cheers.
Thanks. You too in Sweden.